Hot on the heels of that legal push to protect this iconic insect comes a study that throws new light on the many threats that face the butterflies on their multi-generational migration from Mexico to the U.S. and Canada and back. And this new study questions a key conventional wisdom about the role of pesticides and milkweed in the decline in monarch numbers. It comes from a team led by Anurag Agarwal, a professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at Cornell University.
Milkweed has been declining, certainly in the Midwestern USA, where agriculture is most prominent. And with the increased use of both herbicides and genetically modified crops that are tolerant of those herbicides, the amount of milkweed in those agricultural fields has declined. It certainly seemed quite logical that milkweed limitation could be playing a role in the population trends and the downward spiral of the monarch butterfly. Nonetheless, we were compelled to try to take a rigorous look at the data that are out there to ask the question, is that what's really going on?
So what did you do?
What we did was we really tried to put the pieces together. And what I mean by that is the monarch butterfly has a very complex annual migratory cycle. So in the fall, they fly all the way down to Mexico, rest there for 4 months, fly back to the USA, and then lay eggs in Texas and Oklahoma. From there, their offspring or the next generation flies up to the Midwest and the northeastern USA and southern Canada, where they breed for 2 to 3 more generations. We're very, very fortunate to have many different data sets where citizen scientists and conservation organizations have been tracking the monarch populations. And it's one of these wonderful resources where people had the foresight 25 years ago to start these monitoring programs. By putting those different data sets together, we were able to ask, where is the weak point in the annual migratory cycle? Where is it that they're doing the worst? And can we then take that information and infer what the problem might be?
So, of course, we want you to give us the answer.
Yeah. What's very clear is that in Mexico, the highland overwintering grounds, the monarchs cluster on these fir trees at about 10,000 feet of elevation. Their numbers have been declining over the past 20-some years. When they fly to the southern USA, we look at the data, their numbers there have also been declining. But when we look at the next several generations of each cycle in the Midwestern USA, in the Northeast, and as they begin to fly south in the fall, none of those four independent data sets show any population decline over the past 22 years. And so that suggests to us that the monarch populations are building up each summer, and the only time when they really rely on milkweed is the summer months when they are breeding, laying eggs, and the caterpillars only eat this food. And yet, at the end of that time, when they're done eating milkweed, their populations seem to be somewhat stable over the past 25 years. They then begin their southern flight. By the time they get to Mexico, the numbers are down again. So on the one hand, that presents a very important finding. The decline seems to happen after they are done feeding on milkweed. It also presents a conundrum. Why is it that their numbers are down when they get to Mexico, given that they weren't down at the beginning of the fall?
So let me see if I understand this correctly. The problem area then is someplace between the southern United States and Mexico and the overwintering?
The problem area, we don't exactly know, and it spans several thousand miles, which makes this a bit of a gnarly problem, but it would appear that the problem has to do with being able to complete that flight successfully and establish in Mexico. From my perspective, that suggests, I guess, one of three potential problems. They need flower nectar, the nectar produced by flowers, to power their flight to Mexico. And it's entirely possible, and there's been some work in the literature suggesting that the amount of flowers that are available for them to sugar up on that several thousand mile journey have been reducing. If that's the case, they don't have enough energy and they may not make it. Secondly, they're traversing these tremendous distances in landscapes and they need those landscapes to be free of obstructions, of insecticides, of poisons, et cetera. And it very well may be the case that they're not finding clean and healthy landscapes to do the migration. Lastly, and this has been a concern for several decades since the overwintering grounds in Mexico were discovered in 1975, and we know they're highly, highly restricted, 10 to 12 mountaintops, summing to the size of about New York City, that all of the monarchs, the hundreds of millions of monarch butterflies, overwinter on these very special, restricted dozen mountaintops. And there has been a consistent pressure on those forests in terms of logging and other human activities that have degraded those sites. It's been very difficult to pinpoint the impact of that forest degradation on the monarchs, but it's quite clear that it's substantial. And despite best efforts to reduce logging and reduce those activities, some of it continues. And so I think it's the flower resources available, the uninterrupted and clean landscapes, and then the overwintering forests that may be contributing to their decline.
And milkweed loss doesn't appear to be the culprit, you're saying?
Yeah, our analysis of the data suggests that if milkweed loss is contributing, it's contributing in some complex way. And what I mean by that is, let's say with the impact of insecticides on monarchs that are perhaps sublethal or just kind of making them slightly sick, and they're not finding enough host plant, together with, say, being slammed by a particular weather event, that could be causing their declines. But if we were to look across the 22 years that we have, is there a signal that reduced host plant alone is really important for these butterflies? That signal does not exist. And I'd say it's remarkably consistent across several different data sets.
Hmm. Now, what about Mexico itself? You say, of course, the habitat, the dozen or so mountains there, that habitat has been degrading. How much habitat has been lost over these last 22 years?
Well over half of the potential monarch overwintering habitat, I believe, has been lost since the 1950s and 60s. And basically using aerial photographs, this is a very important study conducted about a decade ago, it was shown that a lot of those habitats have been lost. There are certain mountain ranges where monarchs no longer go to overwinter, in part because they have been developed or the forests have been cut down. There were protections put into place by the Mexican government beginning in 1986. And since that time, there have been various improvements or attempts to further protect the area. It's called the Monarch Butterfly Biosphere Reserve, and it's now a World Heritage Site and has other important distinctions for its conservation value. But there's been a high level of habitat destruction, and it continues. It continues at a relatively slower rate than it has in the past, but it continues.
And what role does mining play in this?
Mining plays some role, and recently in the news, there was a New York Times article about this. There are deals being made and prospects of mining very close by to the Monarch Butterfly Biosphere Reserve. So that's something that has historically played a role, and I think there hasn't been a lot of mining recently, but it's again on the horizon, and it's something we really need to look out for to make sure that the government is making the right decisions in terms of allowing particular activities.
So how do you think your research changes what we ought to be doing to protect this iconic species?
I think there's maybe two or three recommendations. The first thing I'd say is for those citizen scientists that are out there that are planting milkweed to improve habitat for the monarch, I would say please continue, especially if you're planting native milkweeds. And there's been some issues with non-native milkweeds actually causing some trouble. But if you can identify native milkweeds and plant them, not only will there be no harm, there probably could be some benefit of that. But to really address the problem of the long-term decline, I think we need to, you know, zoom out a little bit and ask, is this decline specific to the monarch, or are we seeing other species that are following a similar pattern, and what does that tell us about the health and well-being of our continent? And the unfortunate truth is that many migratory species, and you know, we have migratory birds, for example, that make the same or a very similar trek, and many of their numbers are also declining in a similar way. And that suggests a larger problem with the way we're managing our landscapes. And those could be involving chemicals and pollution, or it could be the fragmentation of the landscapes at a larger scale. The reality for conservation of any species is that it's a very complicated endeavor. And for the monarch butterfly, we don't have a simple answer. I don't think that planting milkweed is going to solve the problem. Having said that, you know, it raises the issue that it's a complicated problem and that climate, habitat destruction, pesticides, host plant limitation, et cetera, all probably play some role. Perhaps one important message here is that there aren't quick fixes or simple fixes. Of course, we should do more. We should plant milkweed, reduce the impact of pesticides on the environment, et cetera, but it will not be a simple fix.
Anurag Agarwal is a professor of ecology and evolutionary biology. Thanks so much for taking the time with us today, Professor.
Thank you.